Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you this evening?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. Everything is good. I had the fundraiser last night, the one for Brighter Tomorrow.
How did it go?
It went wonderfully. It's funny because it's for, you know, battered women and you know, of course, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships is a perfect book for some of those people. So seemed to be the right fit. And the dead were very cooperating, talking a lot. So it was
That's always good.
They were talkative. They were good. And it's so funny because, you know, I'm doing for 2 hours and, you know, I don't have a watch with me or anything because I don't want to keep looking at the time. And all of a sudden I was like, God, I hope it's almost over because I'm burning out. And I heard a dead voice say, it's 9 o'clock, ask. And I said, oh, anyone know what time is it? It was 9 on the dot. Could you imagine?
Nice.
Was like,
I love it.
Nice. I was like, oh, right, good. Because when you read like 45, 50 people and like 4 or 5 dead people for each person, it gets exhausting.
I was glad
when 9 o'clock came. I was like, yes. And it was in this place called the Bates House. And I kept thinking of Norman Bates, right? But it's in Setauk. It's very hard to find because it's not really a street it's on. So it was like a long driveway. And it was like a little hard to find, but it was a beautiful place inside. But you forget when you're up in Setauk how it's all those old colonial type houses and area. And it always feels like you're in a little time warp when you go there. You know, have you ever gone up in that area?
No.
Okay, because it really feels, because a lot of the houses are really, really old, revolutionary times, and it's still kind of rural looking. So, interesting how Long Island has so many different little, you know, spots.
Oh, yeah.
So, thank God they put balloons on the little street because I think no one would have found it. So, it was a nice event, and I'm glad it was a good fundraiser, and they seemed to, you know, make some good money. So, that was good. They had some fun raffles, too. It was just all in all a very nice event. And I want to thank Andrew for showing up. And it's funny because he showed up, but I didn't know he was there.
Andrew is just the best.
But he came after I was on that side of the room. And it's Jillian is this young girl who died in a car crash who seems to have attached herself to Andrew, although he didn't know her. He just read something I wrote about her. And she just seems to, like, be obsessed with him. So I finish and I'm sitting off in the corner. I just finished at 9 o'clock and I said to myself, well, Jillian said Andrew was coming and he wasn't here. And all of a sudden he pops down next to me. And I thought I was like hallucinating for a minute. I was like, what? And then he started laughing. I had to touch him. Oh, Andrew, it really is you. I was like, yeah.
Aww.
There he was. So yeah, it's always nice to see a familiar face. And there were other funny coincidences of people there who are my clients, and one of them insures this organization, and they didn't know I was going to be there, and of course, I didn't know this person was going to be there, and I had given her a reading not too long ago, and something that was supposed to play out that she really needed to play out happened, and it was just weird that it just happened she was able to tell me. So those are the kind of things that are always exciting to see. You know, she was surprised to see me because even when they knew the event was happening, she didn't know it was going to be me. And so there were all those little things happening, so that's always fun. And we get used to that with psychic things. And your spirit guide has been telling me that you're getting more psychic. Have you been getting any little hits like that lately?
I have been, like unbeknownst to me, but I have been.
Wow. You know, and
I wasn't even, because you know what, like, you know the whole deal with me. Like, I always have to try very, very much. You know, I have to really, really concentrate, and I really have to kind of hone in and, you know, to get even a small amount of information. But I've been very, very blessed with, you know, with my imagination has just been on fire. And I've been listening to the things that my imagination has been telling me. And I'm like, here we go. We're just getting some cool intel right now. And it's been really, really great. It's been helpful. One thing in particular is I went into work a couple of months ago, like about 3-4 months ago, and I was like, somebody's pregnant. I was just like in the room. I was like, somebody's pregnant. And, you know, we were just like, I was like, nope, I had a dream. I'm telling you that there's somebody that's close to me that's pregnant. I just got to figure out who the hell it is. And then, you know, last month, my friend from the office turned around and said, okay, so, you know, the day that we were talking in the kitchen and you said that somebody was pregnant, she's like, it was me. We weren't telling anybody yet, but it was me. I was like, oh, my God.
And
I just called it.
Don't you just love it when you're getting a hit and the person's not confirming it?
It's great because even she's like sitting there because I guess like it was like before her doctor's appointment to really confirm, you know, so she was just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's silly. You know, it's an old wives tale. And I'm like, nope. Somebody is pregnant, and I'm like, and I suddenly I had the dream.
And meanwhile, obviously you scoped out that hormones in her already.
Absolutely. I was just kind of like, and I had the dream more than once. I was like, so it means that, and you know, when it was two different people in the dream, I'm like, it's more than one person. There's more than one thing happening here. And as it turns out, not only was she pregnant, but one of the other guys was like, oh my God, my wife told me the day after you said you had that dream that she was pregnant. And I was like, wow. So there we go. Two people from my office, both pregnant just because I had a dream about it. So it was kind of cool.
Wow. And so, see, those are little ways that your spirit guides are testing you to see if you're paying attention, to see if, you know, you're getting validation. And they just test with kind of fun things like that. It's nothing scary. It's just kind of fun. And it's going to happen more. If you want it. So I'm just giving you a little heads up.
I'd love it to happen more. I mean, I've always wanted it to happen more. You know, it's just, you know, like I said, it's always just one of those things where I really had to work at it. And I think that the difference between now and in the past is like every time I got something, I was always looking for that validation. And this time I didn't care if I had the validation, and the validation came anyway. So
right.
I think that has a lot to do with it, since I'm such a cerebral person and it's like I tend to overthink things so much. You know, I talk myself out of things a lot, so I didn't do any of that this time. I just like was just kind of like, cool, you know, just went with the flow, and I got a favorable result from it. So I'm just gonna continue doing what I'm doing, and whatever anybody wants to tell me, I'm open to listen or hear or whatever.
Well, it's hard when you do it for a living, by the way, because like,
I know. I don't know how you do what you do. Like, I really don't.
Sometimes people have rewritten history so much, okay? So say someone's father died like 40 years ago, okay? And he's trying to tell them that he was unhappily married, and the person keeps insisting how much this person loved their mother. And the dead person will keep telling me, no, I loved her, but I didn't like her. And sometimes they don't want to hear it. But meanwhile, as the reading goes on, you know, I find out the mother's totally unfixable human being, you know, that the kid can't stand, nobody can stand, but yet this child has rewritten the history to believe that, you know, the mother was different 40 years ago, which she wasn't, you know.
Well, people always do that, though, I feel. I think that people, even when it's not something that's close to you, people will do one of two things. Either they will sensationalize whatever the experience was, or they will think that it was worse than it actually was. It never really is, I don't think, true to what the situation actually was. You know, I think that people take on that idealistic view or that just absolutely pessimistic view, and it's either or, especially when you're dealing with family members and you're going back, you know, several years and such, because, you know, your mind is not, it is not recalling what actually was there. It's recalling what you want it to recall.
Exactly. And it happened. And I was thinking of that today, oddly enough, that I remember, you know, I used to keep a journal when I was younger, and I had gone to Israel when I was 19, and I remembered in my mind that I hated this particular place in Israel. Okay. I just remember. And when I looked at it like 10 years later, what I wrote was that I had actually loved the place. So I'm thinking, how the hell did I remember hating it when I loved it? Like, it was so, and I think it was a lesson in my spirit guides back then trying to tell me sometimes what we remember it entirely different than it actually happened. And so when we die and we get a life review, you get to see things that really happened and how it happened. And a lot of times the dead, they rebel against it. They go, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And they keep staying like a Groundhog Day, having to see the same day over and over because they won't admit that maybe they didn't remember it correctly, or maybe they distorted it. Or, and so
that would mean that they were wrong, Cindy. You'd have to admit that you were wrong.
Right, and they won't. So when I'm giving a little heads up, listeners, when you get your life review, when you go to the other side, they're showing you exactly what happened. Do not fight. They're not lying. It's not fake news. It's not somebody else.
Yeah, I would imagine not.
And just go, yes, I could have done better. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. So you can just keep going through it and not being stuck over and over at the same point. So it is funny how sometimes, you know, when I'm doing a reading, and it's hard because I won't back down, but I'll stop saying it. But it sort of stops some of the reading because then the dead person isn't going to say much else because, look, I'm trying to tell you something because you need to know this because obviously there's some issue that person has where they need to stop rewriting history or they need to know this piece of information. And if they keep, you know, and what I'll do is like, okay, I'll think to myself, well, maybe I heard it wrong. And then I hear it like 10 times louder from the dead person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and I'll say, well, your dad is still saying it. And they'll go, it's not true. It's absolutely wrong. And then I'll hear it again. And then I'll say, well, he just said it again 3 times. That's all I'm going to tell you. He said it 3 times. Okay, and let's move on. Because what can I tell you?
But yeah, pretty much.
And a very interesting thing happened in group readings when I'm doing a whole group of like 100 people. Like, there were clients there that I knew. And yet I felt very blank when I went near them to read them. Like, all of a sudden, there was like a shield, and I really couldn't say things that I would have said. And I realized later on, because sometimes, you know, these are suicides or things that I probably maybe say something I shouldn't say in a group, so they'll just shield my memory of it. It's like a, it's a frightening experience, though, because all of a sudden, there's like no thought in my head. And I'll be going, what's with that? But now that I've done it enough times, I realize this is a public venue. They're protecting me, so I don't say anything publicly that should be said. So now I've learned when the shield goes, okay, move on, go to the next person, because it's just, it protects me legally, for one thing, so that I don't get sued.
It's
something I should say. But two, just so, you know, this is a different kind of venue, but it never happens in private readings very often. It will happen if there's something they don't want the person to know yet, and maybe the dead person's revealing something that they shouldn't, then I'll feel that. But it happens like maybe 1 every 1,000 readings. Whereas when I'm doing a group reading, it might happen 4 times in the evening, which is, and at the first couple of times when I did it, I was like, what is going on? But last night was the first time I really understood it, because when the person came over to me privately afterwards, everything that came back to me. And then I thought, oh my God, no wonder I didn't say anything, or they didn't want me to say anything at the moment. And she actually said, thank God you didn't say anything, because there's a legal issue here that it could not be, nothing could be said publicly yet. So could you imagine?
Oh, wow.
So
that's,
it was
crazy.
Interesting how it was blocked. So, you know, I'm just giving people a little heads up how spirit works, how, you know, sometimes they will reveal more, sometimes they won't. Sometimes you're supposed to know something. Sometimes you're not supposed to know something. So it's not like, and the easiest way to explain it is, like, say when I'm doing a group reading and some people will be very clear at talking and very easy to hear. Well, they were probably better communicators on Earth, and some people are not great communicators. Some people just don't want to talk publicly in front of everybody. But I explained to them, you know, just as you might not be able to get a read on every person that you're sitting right in front of, like you go, oh, boy, I didn't understand what that person meant or what were they up to, whatever. You don't always understand everything even on the earth plane. And it's not different from the other side. Sometimes the dead are not as clear as they should be, and I'm not sure why they're not that way. But it's each dead person is like as unique as to talking to a living person. And, you know, it's just fascinating because people say, well, why was that person so clear and this one not? It's a lot of variables, you know, how you can how clear you can hear something. So that's why when you're doing yours, sometimes you'll get a very clear, like, you know, hit. Like, you know it's right. You knew you were – you had that knowing that someone was pregnant. You just knew it.
Okay? Yep.
And you even knew to say it in front of the person who it was, by the way. And yet – you didn't have the knowledge at the moment that it was that person. So what happens is that you hone it and do it more. I get quicker at figuring out where it is, what it goes, whatever, and how it goes. But, you know, you just it's not an exact science. So And even if it is an exact science, we haven't mastered it. You know what I'm saying? So So, but I just loved it because your spirit guides were saying before I got in the air, she's getting so psychic, Nicole. anyway, we do have a lot of listeners. If anybody would like to talk to us, they just have to press one. I did get to see Karen this week, and I loved seeing her.
Oh, I love Karen.
Came for her reading. Yes, it was wonderful to see her. Yeah, her birthday, and she's always one of my favorites, so I was very happy to see her. And, you know, again, when you're doing readings with people, sometimes I don't know what to expect at all. And, you know, it surprises me because when I'm doing a reading, sometimes I'm just sure I'm going to tell a particular woman, oh, but you got to leave your husband because he's, you know, because, you know, I know he's a son of a bitch or whatever. And then I look at the cards and a whole other reading comes through. No, he's changing. He's working on it. He's blah, blah, blah. So I'm always surprised how what we may think as humans, but what comes from the other side could be entirely different. So that's why I'm very careful not to give my own opinion about something without looking at the cards first, because I could be wrong, because my own opinion could be, you know, just because I love you so much, I don't want you with that person anymore. But from what spirit says is no, that person has learned. So it's interesting. But that's the kind of thing they're going to test you a little bit in the next week or two. So, you know, by the time we go to our next show next week, I'm probably going to hear you tell me that you got the testing message. And,
I look forward to it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So we're going to try to go pick up the first person, which is a 402. I don't have a clue where that is. Do you know where that is?
No, I don't. I think maybe Rhode Island, I want to guess. Say that's going to be my guess is Rhode Island. What's your guess, Cindy? Let's see who's right.
Okay, let's see.
Let me see. Hello, 0316. You are on the air.
Hi, this is Diane. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Diane. Where are you calling from?
You have to go west. It's Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Well, that is, we don't get too many calls from Nebraska, so this is fascinating. Okay. I didn't even know people lived in Nebraska. Okay. There are people in Nebraska. We found one. Okay.
I'm trying to crack out myself. But I tell you what, I have one question, but I wanted to follow up because I called in a couple months ago, and you said, well, call us with a follow-up, you know, if you get anything. And my intuition just kind of chuckled and said, you'll have a little something. Don't worry. And I was the one that called about my boyfriend who, even though his ex-wife brought about the divorce and everything, she's still kind of hanging on to him. She has the same first name I do. She, we're both Diane, but she kept my boyfriend's last name after she got married to another man, even though there are no children involved anywhere.
Wow.
And so my update from that was, you were getting that she was kind of the antithesis of me. And the update, even though I've been on the scene on my boyfriend's Facebook page for about 3 years now, she sent me a Facebook friend request. Never
Wow.
met the woman. Don't want to meet the woman. Don't want anything to do with the woman.
Wow. She's trying to find out what you do and, you know, kind of be able
oh,
to.
Oh, that is boundary issues and weird.
It's actually called orbiting, where people just orbit around you through social media. And, you know, so I hope you didn't friend her.
Oh, no. No, I've left her. I haven't blocked her. I've kind of left her in purgatory. I just haven't done anything.
Okay, yeah, that's probably best to do because you don't have to not friend. You don't have to do anything. You can just act like you didn't see it.
Right, that's what I'm doing.
Just ignore it. But she's still, she's very jealous. She still thinks she's, you know, even though she's remarried, she still thinks she owns this, you know, your boyfriend. She's bad news. She's a troublemaker. And did you tell him that she wanted you to friend her?
Yeah, he said he was shocked. And I said, well, have you heard from her? Because obviously she's still on his Facebook page after a number of years. And that kind of bothers me. To me, that kind of disrespects our relationship. But for right now, I'm all right with it. But my question was, it doesn't involve her at all. I'm applying to get out of Nebraska at least for 8 weeks. I've applied for a, they call it a creative boot camp through an entertainment company in California. And I was just wondering what you saw on that.
Okay, so that's, now, would you be moving there then?
I would be moving there for at least 8 or 9 weeks for the duration of that working period, that camp. But it's the type of opportunity that if I get it, I would not be surprised if I moved out there because I would be able to make money doing what I was doing there.
Okay, and it does look like, you know, you would love it. You know, I'm seeing, yes, it looks really good here, and
mm-hmm.
It's a very good opportunity for you. And doesn't look like anything blocking it. Is it something you've been thinking about doing for a while?
Oh, yes, I've wanted to do this type of work all my adult life, and that was the reason I got to apply for it, because I learned about the deadline maybe about 36 hours before, but because I've much of this type of work, it was like, oh, this is my best project, I feel, right now. So I sent them that. And I've not heard from them yet, but after I sent it, I had really kind of a scary feeling. So I found myself crying, and I thought, well, I'm not sad. What's going on? And my intuition said, if you get this, you'll have to prove yourself. And I thought, oh, okay. So I was kind of feeling like I was getting that push to finally do some of this work that I wanted to do.
Right, and it looks like it is a lot of work, but you're going to love it, and it looks really promising here for you. So I hope you're seriously thinking, how is it going to affect your life to be there for 2 months? How is it going to affect you?
Yes, I've been thinking about that because I've got pets and the boyfriend I'm not really worried about, but just going to a new place, especially from going where, you know, people don't think people live in Nebraska because it's so... The world
so
in Los
here.
Angeles, but I have been to Los Angeles and it didn't really scare me too much. So
okay,
I think I can do it. Well, I know I can do the work. It's just a question of, okay, you know, it'll take a little more work to just adjust yourself to the environment, but I know I could do it.
Okay, so this boot camp thing, is it training you to do the job? Is that what it is?
Yeah, somewhat. Well, they're looking for writers that already, I think, know a little bit how to write, but then they're taking what they think are some of the most prospective people in terms of selling some writing projects, and then they're going to pair them with someone who is a big person in the entertainment industry when it comes to writing. Sometimes some are showrunners, some are, I forget what the other titles were, but they're just people that have a lot of experience in the industry to help people bring a project up to speed in 8 weeks, so then you can pitch it to entertainment companies and banks and things like that, so you can sell your work.
Wonderful. Well, it looks very good here, and you had to, like, send them your best project, and Do you know when they're going to let you know if you got it? Because did they tell you?
Yeah, I got an email from them saying they were going to start requesting setting up interviews with people starting yesterday and going through the 18th. I have not been contacted yet.
Okay. And actually, whether you get this thing or not, it looks like you're going to go on writing and sell something in the future. So, you know, you're definitely meant to be in that industry, and the project that you have now is really very good. So you're going to go on with that no matter what. Don't let it get discouraged if, you know, for some reason you don't get in this or whatever, because the absolute outcome here is that you have a really good project here.
Okay, yeah, and I did send that, and that is what I would be working on with the professional in the industry for 8 weeks to get it up to speed so I could pitch it to someone who could actually buy it and make it into a reality.
Wow. And, you know, it looks so exciting. So I'm so glad you did this, because the card you're getting is a person who's supposed to feel at the end of her life that she's accomplished everything she wanted. So, you know, doing this project in this film, it's a film that you want to do? It's a film?
It's actually a sitcom pilot for a TV show.
Oh, interesting. That it's ultimately looks like that's something you're supposed to be doing to make you really go where you want to go. It looks like a very good sitcom, too, here.
Oh, thanks. But you see me making the money off of it, not like someone else would get word of it and take it, because there's a lot of theft out there with this type of stuff.
I know. Do you have it, the idea copyrighted or whatever? You know,
I think I did back when I wrote it.
Right.
I usually do that when I get one done. I just written it so far back, I couldn't remember, because living in Nebraska, I can't do what I want to do. I've tried, and it's just not possible.
No. And, when I studied playwriting at the University of Connecticut, our professors used to always tell us, don't worry about anybody stealing your idea. It's the best thing they could ever do. You could sue them later on, and you'll get your name out there after the project, and then you'll be surprised that it wasn't the worst thing that happened. So they'd be going, so don't worry about it. Just go out there and sell your stuff. And, it looks like you're probably the only person who could even write this particular sitcom, be the person who would really know how to write it. So, even if they tried to steal the idea, I don't think it would come out anywhere the way you have it in mind.
Well, I don't think the people responsible for this boot camp would do it. I've got a really good feeling about them. I feel that they've got a lot of integrity. They've been in the business for over 40 years, both of them, the guys that head up this program or this company.
Wow. Well, that's why I said no, it doesn't. But again, it looks like you've got to get out there and do it. And would you want to move to California? Because there is a move showing up here in the future.
Yeah, if I can sell some work out there and be a part of that, most definitely I would move to California. I don't know if I'd stay there the rest of my life, but I would want to try it for a while, because this is what I've been working up to all my life, this type of work.
Right, and, it's your dream. So it really looks great. Call in and let us know what happens. Isn't it funny how did you find out the deadline 36 hours before? You must have gotten some divine guidance at that point.
I did, because when I was on Facebook, they had changed the parameters of, how you might look for friends and say, you might know or you might like these people. And I kept coming back to this one guy, and I didn't know him personally, but I thought, well, I know his name from somewhere, a book or something. And I went to his page, and he had posted that, and he was someone that I'd wanted to take one of his comedy writing classes from. And he had posted this deadline about the creative boot camp on his page, and that's how I learned about it. And my intuition just kept pushing me to this guy. You've got to go to this page, go to this page.
Wow. You see? So, that's what we were talking about. You get those hits and you follow them,
Yeah, and sometimes they're very subtle. This wasn't that subtle, but I know what you're talking about.
Sometimes they are subtle. And if you don't, what happens is that people are so busy. And they're so busy that they miss the hits. You know, so that's why meditation or just slowing down, you know, a little bit in the day, you'll get the hits. You might say, oh, I should have done that. So you're definitely being guided. And no matter what happens, you're to keep writing that sitcom. Have you been writing it yourself now?
Yes, I haven't written it with anyone else. It's just me, solo project.
Wow. Wow. And just keep going forward. And just keep on pursuing it, because the cards look like you will be very successful. So keep on going. And it's interesting because the two things you talked about were Facebook tonight, how the girl tried to friend you on Facebook and how you found this on Facebook. So
I
went to Facebook. You know, when people say they don't like Facebook, no, Facebook, you can learn a lot of important things on Facebook and things like that you wouldn't know about. So,
oh, exactly. Yeah, I check it probably once a day at least. It's not my favorite thing, but I do go there, and I'm glad I did because of learning that deadline.
Wow.
Yes, I hope that in a couple months I'll be calling you from Los Angeles.
Oh, well, good. And yes, we would love that. You'll be like, here I am. It's only 4 o'clock in Los Angeles, but I had to say hi.
Right.
Well, keep us posted, and I'm so glad you called in, because it's interesting how you know, she's just scoping you out, this woman. She's scoping you out.
But
she's not your friend. Do not do not think she's your friend.
Oh, no, she's a total manipulator. I can tell that just looking at her photo. I've always had a psychic gift with photos, and I've seen her in photographs and said, yeah, no. I'm surprised my boyfriend, he's pretty intelligent. I'm surprised he fell for it.
And it's funny because the way you said you can get hits through photographs, like they don't do anything for me, photographs, but for some people they do. It's the language of photographs, and for some people
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting how you can get hits from photographs. That's what each person's psychic ability or ability to get hits comes in a different way. So
yeah.
That's interesting that with the photo, you know, how you're getting that. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people will bring photos for me, and it's nice to see the pictures of dead, because it, like, after I do that, I like just like to see what they look like. Then I have a face to go with, like, a spirit. But I won't get anything if you give me a picture. I will get from what's called the language of photographs. Yes, I know how to read photographs and body language and things like that. But I wouldn't get, like, a hit on a person from it, like the way you got. But I find it fascinating that people do. So, again, that's something you might want to pursue, you know, reading those photographs and things like that. But yeah, you know what, he's a very smart man, the guy you're with, but when it comes to his ex, he's still a little naive.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how long that's going to go, but for right now it's going very well, so, you know, I don't like to create problems where there are none.
And also, he's just a nice guy, and he doesn't like to make trouble, okay? So
yeah.
But if he unfriended her probably on Facebook, she'd probably make a big stink. So it's probably best he just leaves her, you know. So sometimes people just do things to make peace, you know. And
and it's not like he – and now I don't even tag him in our stuff together, so it doesn't even appear on his page. It's only on my page, and I'm sure that's why she sent me the friend request.
Right, because she knows that – she wants to see what you guys are doing. And,
right.
And drives her crazy when
she's
she
almost at the 3-year point in her current marriage too. And anyone who's been married a while, you kind of know 3 years is kind of where you kind of know the person pretty well then, you know, and that's when a lot of people, I think, are thinking, what did I do? You know?
Right. You're right. Because relationships work in 5-year cycle. So the 3-year mark is like, fix it or leave it. Let's start, because by 5 years, you're going to know you don't want to be here anymore. Also, the honeymoon's over and she's bored. She doesn't want to see, she will be, you know, if she sees pictures of you and you guys are happy, it'll make her crazy too. So it's better she doesn't see them. She doesn't want to see that he's happy. So, you know, she is stalking around. So.
Yeah, definitely. And one did get through, because one of my boyfriend's sisters wanted to be tagged in a photo over the weekend, which was the whole family and me. So I know she saw that, but I thought, well, I'm still not giving her anything else.
Right. And also, you'll be careful if someone, you know, that you don't really know wants to friend you, because it may be her having someone that she knows try to friend you so she could still look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I just friend everybody because I'm a public figure anyway. I don't care. But, you know, be careful, because she could have someone else do it. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't know if you just friend people who ask you, because a lot of people...
Not always, no. I usually am the one sending the friend requests. I used to accept a lot more, but then overnight I had Facebook give me 250 friends that I didn't know anything about.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's fun. Well, I stopped just friending. I look at it. I have to look at it now. I used to just friend because I friended someone and I got 400 porn site things on my Facebook, okay? And, like, groups that were, like, really perverted. And I had to, like, for each one notify Facebook that this is, like, you know, pornographic. But I had to do for 400 of them. It took me, like, 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I had to do for each one to get rid of it. Okay,
yeah,
and then of course they got rid of it, but could you imagine 400 in like one day? So these are like even like bots or something. That wasn't even a person, you know?
Right, right.
But I was like, oh, so I'm a little more careful about who I'm friending now. But so, you know, keep us posted and call in and let us know what happens with your sitcom, because we just love it.
Okay, sounds great.
Good
Thank
luck
you very,
to you.
Very much.
Bye. Okay, now, Nicole, we have Catherine. Is she someone we know, or?
You know what? I don't think so. I don't think that Catherine is somebody that we know. She is calling us from New York, Cindy. And actually, she's got an interesting question, and this is one that we've never fielded before on the show. She is looking for your advice, not only as a psychic, but also as a woman. She is planning events that will support women. And she's got it narrowed down to a couple of venues, and she wants your input, Cindy. Which one should she choose, and where will this event be the most successful? So
That is a great question.
It's a great question, is it not? So here we go to Catherine in New York.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Catherine, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. And yes, that was the proper question. I could give you the initials of the people operating the venues, if that would make it easier.
Yes. And are they all the same size venue, or is some bigger than others?
Right. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Because it looks like, is this the first time you're doing this?
Yes. Oh, you're good. Yes.
Okay. Because that's what I'm saying. This is the first time, and I got the card that this is a business, an adventure that you're going to build very well. But the first hit I got is, when I asked you the sizes, is to go with the smaller venue at first.
Okay.
Because you want to fill that. Like,
yes.
You want to fill it, and it's better if there are people that wanted that couldn't get in, because then you could do it for the next time. But if you get too big a venue and it doesn't look filled, or it doesn't fill, you still have to pay for that, which is a lot of money. Looks like sort of one looks like it would be much too large, okay, for right now.
Okay, maybe that's the one where I went today.
Because it looks like they were saying the last one you looked at, okay? So the last one you looked at looked like, you know, you probably got excited by the venue, and it's a nice venue, but it might be hard for you to fill that. How many does it fit?
About 300.
That's what I thought they said, 300.
Yeah.
That's a lot to fill for a first-time thing. Like, I've been doing this a long time, you know, booking lectures and doing things. And usually it looks like a place that has 100 to 150 would be good. Is there a place there that had that?
Yeah, I was just going to say Jessica's. That would be Jessica's venue.
Right. That looks like the perfect one, 100 to 150. Because,
okay.
Again, you can always go to the larger one the next time.
Right, right.
But you want to make sure, because, first of all, you're a very old soul, and older souls worry a lot. Okay, they worry about money. They worry a lot about money, and they worry about, you know,
if they get overwhelmed. So you, just for your own ability to sleep during doing this, and it does look like, I mean, were you thinking of posting this on Facebook and things? We were just talking about Facebook. Were you thinking of, like, promoting
this?
Right,
and do you want to know something really funny? I knew the event that that lady was talking about. I submitted to the same thing as well. From what
wow.
you described. Yeah.
So now, if that isn't like a little freaky, you know, you're in New York, she's in Nebraska. And so you're obviously a writer too.
Yes. Yeah, I do a little bit of everything in entertainment. Yeah.
Wow. But now with this empowering, is it is it for lectures or what is it for?
It's to help women in the film industry.
Wow.
To support them. Yeah.
And women need support. You called into the right radio show because I'm a playwright, and as well as a comedian.
I heard you say.
And so part of why women end up leaving that field or not staying in these fields is because it's really hard for women. And they have to start networking and getting to know each other and helping each other. And, and you know, you saw this place, they organize something that does a boot camp, you know, and you know, going there would probably be great for you to see what they do too, if you can get into this place.
They'd have to accept me. I don't know. They'd have to accept me. That'd be a separate question. If you do have time and want to look at that, also I'd appreciate it. Or I don't know.
Right. It's funny because you're showing up that you know, you have a strong potential to go there too. It looks like it's very competitive. How many people do they accept?
Oh, I don't know, but I'd think in the thousands.
Right. Yeah. They accept 1,000 people to come in, or they got 1,000 people to enter?
1,000 people to enter.
Right, but and do you know how many, you know, people actually they were going to pick?
Oh, that I don't know.
Right, because, you know, it looks actually pretty good here for you. But I'm also seeing for you more that it's almost you're such an old soul. It's almost like the universe wants you to be the one who does empowering things. So if you don't get in, it's only because the universe is steering you to do what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. I have this, and I do have, like, other people about other projects that I'm speaking to. No, you're right. I'm the type that I have to be a little bit more in the driver's seat myself.
Right. That's what it looks like they want for you. That certainly looks like, you know, where you'll be going. So it's more in your own total way.
Do you mind if I ask if I'm getting any sponsorships for this event, or, you know, like people pitching in a little bit?
Right. It looks like you can get sponsors. And, you know, part of what older souls are here on Earth is to learn how to market themselves. So this will be one of your lessons in marketing yourself. And it does look like you'll get probably one decent sponsor here. You know, you could get more, but it looks like one that will mainly, you know, work with you. So it does look like you'll get some sponsorship here.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, this is exciting. I'm so happy. Whenever I hear women trying to do things to empower women, especially in the film industry, it's been such a hard world for women to break into. And that's why I said, if you don't get into the boot camp, it's because God is really pushing you to be the person that does it. You're the leader. You're very much in a leader. It's a lot to do. And where do you want to have this, in New York City, or is it going to be in Westchester? Or?
I was originally looking at someplace outside of the city, but then I figure, like, people might be more reluctant to go there. You know, like, I figure more, you know, it even looks more legit to people if it's in Manhattan proper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. And is one of the venues you looked at in there?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Jessica's venue is in there.
Okay, because that's the one. That's the one I see that would be the best for you because it's the right locale, you know, location, and it's the right size. And if you do it in New York City, you'd probably be able to get a lot more people than if you do it some, you know, Westchester or some more obscure place for people.
Right. I was going to go to another place today. That proprietor's name was Greg, but it's so funny. It's like every time I went to go, something like stopped me. Like the car didn't want to, you know, like Uber canceled. My mom didn't feel like going because I have her with me, you know. It was just like, it was something was like, no. And it's funny because I had done other events at this place before, but I don't know. I guess it's
the universe is guiding you with this.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, when we're on the right path, the doors open mm-hmm. easily. When they mm-hmm. keep throwing obstacles in the way, now, sometimes when we're younger or just starting something, we might have a lot of obstacles just as God's way of testing us. Do we really want to do this? But once you've already established what you really want to do, the universe mm-hmm. doesn't throw obstacles in your way. They're just trying to stop you from making a bad decision that wouldn't work.
Right, right.
So, you know, you have to trust in that guidance when you just weren't getting to that place. And where was that place supposed to be? Where was the locale of that one?
Right.
Was that one also in New York City?
Yes. All three of them in New York,
Okay, because, again, the one is Jessica's certainly leaning toward that particular place. So a lot of marketing you'll do, and, you know, have you looked at what kind of people usually sponsor these things? So you can figure that out, too. It's a lot
that's what I've been going to, that'll be the next phase. I just wanted to get a location first because, you know, it makes it nicer. You can approach a sponsor, hey, it's happening here, you know.
Wow.
That type thing. Yeah.
But it looks really great for you. And once you get all the venue and everything set down, call in again and we'll, like, give you a little plug for it so, you know. People can know where they can go to do this and to meet other people. Because a lot of it is contacts and knowing people. So I'm so glad you called in because it was very interesting to hear what you're doing. And the universe is right going to back you with this one.
So call in again
and let us know what happens. Good luck to you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I definitely will. God bless you. Thank you for
all
that.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Now, Nicole, wasn't that weird that they both entered the same thing, the two people
that
called in? One from Nebraska and one from New York. Is that not freaky?
That is crazy.
Really crazy. So we have Angela. Okay. Let me see what Angela's called in before. Let's see what Angela's on Angela's mind. If we don't get to Liz tonight, Liz, call in next week at the beginning of the week and at the beginning of the show, and we'll put you through. Okay, so let's see what Angela has to say. You screened her.
Angela. Yes, I screened Angela. She called in, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, and you know, she asked you some questions about her relationship or a divorce, and she said you gave her some really, really great advice. And now she's just calling you back to give you a little bit of an update, but also to see what else you have to say now that some time has passed. So here we go to Angela. Hello, Angela. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Angela. So I saw you messaged me, and I'm glad that you did that because I knew who you were. All right. So why don't you fill in what's happened and where you're going in your life.
The last time we spoke was a few weeks ago. And I've been married to my husband about 30 years, and we've had some problems in our marriage, and a little domestic violence, we should say, a little, but some bad things that have happened, and it's very hard for me to leave this man, because deep down inside, I guess I do love him so much that I just can't, I want to, and then I stop, and he tried to hurt me, and there was
recently, since you called in, has he tried to?
This is what happened. There was an order of protection from the court because he tried to kill me, believe it or not. But I modified the order protection about 8 months after this happened because there was a stay away. And my son passed away 2.5 years ago. And when this happened, it was like, I was just very lonely in the house. I missed the love of my child, you know, and my relationship and at home and stuff. And I just modified the order protection. And since then, I didn't want him back home in the house right away, but I wanted to see if he learned a lesson because he went to, he had like an anger management class. He was seeing like a therapist and a psychiatrist. And I hope like he was learning something from this and he was going to apologize because I'm the type of person that, you know, if someone does something wrong, especially someone I love, I always find it in my heart to try to forgive and hope that there's going to be change. You know what I mean? But I try and I try and there's no change. And recently he had an apartment and I went to see a marriage counselor and try to work on a marriage and see if we could, you know, make this work again or just divorce in a proper manner. You know what I mean? That we're not fighting and things like that. Because I love my husband's side of the family, and I'm just a family person. This is what makes it very hard for this divorce. And recently I've been trying, like he would say, Angela, I'm going to meet you for dinner tonight, and I would get all ready, and then he would say half an hour late. I would call him, and then he would, like, just block me. He would do, like, vicious things to me. Put it this way. He really doesn't want to get back to me. I feel like he just wants to torture me. And I don't know what to do. Like, I know what I need to do, get a divorce and speak to someone. But it's like when I would go out to my summer home that we have, he would change the lock. He would, and if I was to get in, he would like put a lock on the bedroom, be like, this is my house too. And he would be like, this is my house, Angeles, and you're like, this is our house. You know what I mean? And I know what I could do because I could go to the police and have him arrested, but I just don't do it. And I think he knows that. And I just want to see if there's any relief for me because I am talking to an attorney and I do want to move forward. And I want to see if there's anything good that's going to be happening in my life to make me happy and if you see anything, that's all.
Well, first of all, I don't see him changing. And I think, you know, I've read you a long time ago already.
We've talked about it. Mm-hmm.
And with your son, he's the same dad's never going to change. And, you know, you moving forward, this man may try to bully you or threaten you.
He does all the time.
Then,
all the time.
You know, but you're going to have to, you know, pretty much warn him that if he says it again, you will have him arrested. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be arrested again, okay? He's scared about that. But he isn't going to make this easy for you, that's for sure.
Oh, he hasn't, because he doesn't pay my bills. He gives me very little during the week, and he knows I'm very emotional. And I have a very good job, and I need to be focused, and I need some support. You don't have to – just tell me the truth. I don't want to be with you. I want a divorce. Don't say you're going to meet me and not meet me. Don't say you're going to do something and not do it. You know what I mean? Don't torture me with my bills and not pay them and make my, you know, credit go down. Like, I could pay bills if he makes a lot more money and we do own a house. So I get the electric bills. I'm in the house. You know what I mean?
Well, he wants your credit rating to go down because then it'll be harder for you to leave him because you won't.
Of course.
You know, it screws up your whole life, okay?
Yes.
And the card I got on him is the devil card.
Mm-hmm. That's what he is.
Don't underestimate this man. And,
no.
You know, I got the fool card. You got to be a little bit of fool to start over.
Right. I hate myself for loving him. You know what I mean?
Well,
I hate myself for that.
You're never going to stop loving him, but you fell out of liking him. Okay?
Exactly. I love him, but I don't. Yes, you got it.
You don't like him. Okay? So you don't have to stop loving him, but you have to love him like a dead man. You love him with your heart, your soul, your mind. You just don't put your body in the same space as his. If you were clear to the universe that you want to get this divorce, you would be surprised how every door will open up to help you.
And I know that, and that's.
But you keep, and again, it's not a testimony to us being great human beings to forgive people who don't deserve to be forgiveness. Forgiveness means your husband would recognize he did something wrong.
Exactly.
He doesn't do it again. He makes amends. Mm-hmm. He completes his therapy.
Never.
He's never going to do that. So you forgive the man, not his actions, and you move on. Also, though, the ending of this marriage is going to bring up your son's death because all endings bring up all other endings.
Yes.
And so sometimes when you want to leave him, this anxiety comes up in you that's overwhelming. But that's really your son, the loss of your son coming up.
That's why I feel like I need that connection with him, but he's not a good man. I mean, I know my son would want me to be happy.
Your son can't stand him.
Not,
you know what your son said?
He does
your
not
son
want
is
me.
A very funny guy. He just
yes,
said to
he
me,
is. He's
Mom, do you want me to throw him down the stairs and be severely punished up here for that? Or could you do what you need to do, and then I could help in a more solid, karmically correct way up here?
Yes.
But if you make me throw him down the stairs, it is not going to be good for me. Okay, yeah. So.
Like, wake up,
believe me,
and do the right thing. You know,
he said, I want to do it.
Like,
and it does look like you're a little scared, but you'll have a good support system. You know, when you go, in New York State, when we divorce, oftentimes we still have to live in the same house. It has to be the lawyer makes it that he tried to kill you once, this man. That you cannot stay in the house with him or your life is in danger.
Yes, and he does have his own place. But I tried. I figured, okay, he went to anger management for the third time because he had two DWIs. He's done this before. You learn something. And he's just so mean. Just divorce. He's like, Angela, I want a divorce. I can't do this. And he knows I need a retainer for this divorce. You have to put a retainer, and that's it. He waits to the end. My husband has money. You know what I mean? And I guess he doesn't want to part with it. Because he always said to me, no one's ever going to benefit.
No,
you know, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to divorce you. If you don't like it, you leave.
You'll get so upset and so sick that you'll drop dead. You'll end
that's
up with
it.
A stroke.
You got it.
You'll blow your brains out with a stroke is what he's waiting for. Okay? And your son said, that is not going to happen.
I know.
You're going to, figure out a way how you can, get the money for a retainer and beg, borrow, steal, do what you got to do. And even if you have to put it on a credit card, just so that.
He screwed up all my credit. He took them all away. He took every month, every penny out of the bank account. And when he does help me with my credit card, he only pays like just so much. So you'll just ask me for the month and not enough that I could put down. So I can't even get a loan. You know what I mean? I can't, you know what I mean? It's just, he just screws me in every way. Just be kind and not even just get a divorce. Just here, Angela, this is for you. Let's do this right. Because he knows how much I love him and I love his family. I know deep down he does love me, but in a sick way. You know what I mean? You do not hurt the person you love, you married. You know what I mean? You don't bring
tears
to
like
her
the
eyes
women
every day,
that,
every day.
Well, when I did the yesterday to writers tomorrow's, it's about women who are battered women by and men and what they do. And it becomes a syndrome.
Terrible.
You don't even realize that you have like Stockholm syndrome. He's done this for so long you don't even see that he's the enemy.
Yeah, well, now
and
I
you
see
still,
it.
And
you're
still
clearly
justifying
and
him and still telling he's got a good heart. Deep. No, he doesn't. Maybe
but
he
could
did.
Change. He could change. He could change. I'm hoping because he's part of my son. Maybe I'm trying to figure out why do I hang on. Because he's part of my son, but he's not like my son. My son was the most loving. He would never hurt anyone. And he loved his mommy so much. Just do it for your son. If you don't, just divorce me. Let me be. Let me live. Let me live for my daughter. Be a grandma one day because she's engaged to be. You know what I mean? Let me be around for my
kids. It's all about money, and he doesn't want to have to divide the property. Then you guys have a house.
Money. He has a lot. Yes, we have two homes. And he wanted to screw me out of the two homes, and now I'm living it. And I was told that I could stay here. And he'll have to pay because he has enough money. See, he doesn't like to hear that. You can't afford this. You can't do this. You. Everything is me, and I'm the bad one. And I can't do this. And I brought everything upon myself. It's my fault. You got what you deserve. He always says, you got what you deserve. Isn't that freaking mean? He's like,
well,
my child's
because he's a supreme
deserve.
Unfixable. He's a narcissist. He judges others. He's not accountable for his behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking advantage of you. Because your son is dead and you haven't been thinking clearly for 2.5 years over here.
I'm lonely. I miss my family. My family meant everything to me. I was like the mother, the best mom that, best wife.
Yeah,
I tried my
best. You were the best
everything.
Mom.
Work, everything, everything.
You're the best everything. But you're going to have to figure out, like right now, don't be saying you're going to divorce him or anything until you can do it, so he'll just pay the bills and think he's keeping the house. You got to be a little more.
I already told him
right
I already
now.
Have one because he always says, well, get your attorney. I said, you can't lock me out of my summer home. This is the summer. I work. I'm getting the listing in South Jamesport. $1 million, listen, I need to be, my house is in Way River. I need to be in my house that night. I need to do things. Just let me in. And he's not allowed to lock his door. And I could definitely call the police to come, but I don't want to make a scene because he knows the type, and he holds that against me. He knows I'm not going to call the cops. I don't want to make a scene in front of people and around. You know what I mean? I'm just like not that type of person.
Well, you're
going
to have
that.
To start being that type
of
person.
Because once you start
doing that, he'll know the blinders are off. So,
and now he's
I would
the
do
victim. Oh, Angela. He's like, Angela, you can't just come in. You can't do this. Yes, this is my home, too. You cannot lock the door. Just let me get in. Let me sleep. Let me do what I need to do. And that's it.
All right,
I try to reason.
What you're going to have to do is call the police, and they'll let you in.
I know.
Okay. And they won't arrest him. They'll just let you in, okay?
Yeah.
And play a little bit hardball with him at this point. More strategic. Don't let him know everything you're thinking and doing, because that's how he's going to use it against you.
Like he always says, get your attorney to contact mine. And silly me, I told him what type of attorney I picked for a divorce. I want a criminal and domestic violence. I want someone that's going to help me in all my areas where he abused me, and I never wanted to be like that. I just wanted what was fair. But you know what? He's just so cruel, so cruel. You know what I mean? I just give me what I just, you know, was fair. 30 years, you know, half of this, half of that, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
It's well, just, again, you can't ask him. You have to only talk to an attorney.
Yes, I know.
Down
mm-hmm.
You can't.
Because we could see a therapist, and maybe we could work it out where we could do this in the proper manner where we don't spend thousands of dollars on attorneys fighting back and forth, because that's not me. You know, I'm not that type. I hate to have hate in me. And to, you know what I mean? I just want to do what's right. You know what I mean? Just do
but
what's right.
But he isn't going to play nice or fair.
No.
Mm-hmm. So get that idea out of your mind, because it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do us a favor and call in again.
I will, honey.
Next week. And let me know what you've been thinking about doing.
Okay.
But it looks like
I'm definitely need to see
you
my
have
journey,
to stop
definitely.
Thinking you're going to be able to make nice with him. Cause
never,
it ain't happening.
Never. Okay. What about, do you see anyone like to make me happy? That I feel like sometimes like I'm so used to like having someone to love and take care of my family. Like going from my mother's house to my husband, and it's hard to be alone. Like, do you see anything in my future? Do
well,
you see anyone?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But God wants you.
Uh-huh.
Wants you to stand on your own 2 feet without a man for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you will have a wonderful soulmate, because your son will bring you a soulmate. That's his job.
Stevenson, he said, because I'm very spiritual, he said, Mom, in my dreams, he goes, you're going to be happy one day, and I live through you, and no one's ever going to hurt you again, especially my father. And he said that to me, and I'm going to do this
and
for myself.
And he means it. And he means it. But he's saying, don't let me get in here and fix this, because I'll...
Yeah, no. No, I understand that. Thank you so much, Cindy, for talking
good
to
luck
me. I appreciate that very much.
Calling again. Okay, we're at the end of our show.
Okay.
Sorry, Liz, that we couldn't get to you.
No, it's okay.
Nicole, thank you. And it was a very interesting show today. We had a little bit of everything, didn't we?
Yes, it did.
And,
yes, it was.
And again, you know, anyone, if you're in an unhappy relationship, stop thinking and it's better to stay, because it isn't. There's a point where you just have to go. And it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Is it today or 20 years from now or 40 years from now? Or is it in a casket because this person has killed you or made you drop dead? So please, if you're in a bad relationship.
Well, people also, if you're in that kind of relationship, you have to differentiate something. People think that they stay because they love the person. You can still, even if you're being abused, you can still love somebody and not like their behavior. And you have to reconcile with yourself that it isn't the person that you're technically leaving. You're leaving that behavior. You're leaving that cycle. And that's what you have to hold on to. You can still have love, but you don't have to sacrifice your life for that love. You can still save yourself by going against the behavior that person that you love is exhibiting.
Exactly. So, you know, good night to everybody, and we just want everybody to love themselves the way they love their children. You wouldn't allow anybody to hurt your children. Don't allow them to hurt you.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. Well, thank you for tonight, Nicole, and we'll speak next week. Have a great week.
Yes, we will, Cindy. Take
care. Bye.